Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. And if you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. You're going to be glad you did, because Gene Siciliano is our guest. Gene is our CFO for Rent. He's the guy who makes himself available. He's a high-powered financial expert who makes himself available to companies all over the place to help them have the kind of financial power that they need, the financial advice that they need, without having to hire somebody full-time. I mean, it costs you a couple, $3 million a year to get Gene all at once. He's also the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager, and he's our good friend Gene. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much, Jim. With an opening like that, I don't need to say any more.
What do you think, $2-3 million? Is that what would it take?
Oh,
would it take?
In that range, somewhere
under $3 million, something like that?
Oh, definitely. We're not in the place. We keep it under that all.
You know, Gene, I'm glad you're here, because I want you to talk to us about the way to allocate the capital that we have. You know, we often talk about small business capital, and as you probably know, the Blasingame's second law of small business is that it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business. And that's the second law. We often talk about capital as if it were one little pot of money. But the truth is, capital, working capital, operating capital for a small business comes in many forms. It comes in the form of cash flow from the activity of the business. If, you know, working capital to keep the business going, it comes in the form of investment money that you put in. It comes in the form of assets that you already own some, either all or part of. It comes in the form of borrowed money from banks. It comes in a lot of different forms, and it's used in a lot of different ways, anywhere from paying a bill that has to be paid today to acquiring something that you can finance over time. And allocating the use of the capital you have may be the most important skill that a successful manager has. What do you think?
That's certainly true. It's all about cash, ultimately. And you don't really have a profit until you're able to put it in the bank. But I'd like to talk today a little bit about the borrowing side of it, which is one of the things you mentioned is a source of capital. And when we talk to clients, we tell them that your capital gets used to buy assets and to put assets to work, because it's the assets that really earn money for the business. And how we provide the capital to purchase those assets is really the key to the success of the business from a financial standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So business owners put money into the business of their own, as you said, to start it, and usually not enough. And then they rely on creditors and other sources for the rest of that capital.
By getting terms for their purchases.
Typically, yes, because as you know, and that's where most credit, most working capital for business comes from. It's the credit that their suppliers extend to them.
The float.
That's right, when they make a purchase. But you know, every once in a while they make a mistake in managing that capital, in managing that debt source of capital. And one of the things that interests me is that it doesn't always happen just to small businesses. I was reading an article a few weeks in the newspaper about a big guy who did the same thing that little guys do, and I thought it was an interesting story. These were big real estate investors in New York who bought a bunch of buildings for $6.8 billion with a B.
Wow.
And they did something interesting. They said, well, we have a good deal here. Let's put together a little bit of cash and borrow as much as we can to buy these buildings. Oh, yeah, it's short-term debt, but that's okay. We'll get it refinanced, and everything will work out.
And we'll flip it and get it refinanced another one somewhere else.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we'll, and it'll all work out fine. And, yeah, the rents don't quite cover the, the mortgage or the debt service payment right now, but it's okay because we're not going to have to live with that very long. Lo and behold, the debt market problem started, and refinancing wasn't as easy as it turned out to be, and that debt service drain started pulling cash out of their business, and they had a cash squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like big dollars.
Yeah.
But
this is not an $850 mortgage payment.
That's right. But it's this.
It's more like probably $100,000 a month or something like that.
My guess it was bigger than that.
Yeah.
Talk about financing $7 billion.
$7 billion. I guess you're right. Yeah, it would be more than that.
Big numbers. The big guys forgot the fundamentals just like the little guys do.
Yeah.
As you know, you and I are focusing on the little guys, and so I thought we ought to take that idea and put it in terms that the little guy works with and understands.
Exactly. And allocating the resources you have, folks, is very important. You got to watch those pennies, and Gene Siciliano and I will do that right after these messages. It's 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. To make you say that you one of the classics from Richie Valens. Actually, Richie Valenzuela changed his name to Richie Valens. One of the great ones. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Gene Siciliano. Gene, give us your website, please.
www.cfoforren.com. CFO for rent.com.
Gene, you're breaking up on us a little bit there. I don't know. I think I'm not sure exactly what happened there. Give us the website again. Let's see how that sounds.
www.cfoforrent.com.
That's a lot better. Yeah, that's a lot better. Good deal. Okay, we're talking about making sure that we allocate the money that we have, our capital we have, especially borrowed money. And, you know, Gene, the example I'm going to use is not borrowed money, but it's a good example of how to think about allocating money. I've seen restaurants who work on primarily a cash basis. They need a new fixture. They need some new equipment or something. They've got the cash in the register or in the bank right now, and so they just write a check for the thing. You know, $1,000, $1,500, whatever it might be. They just write a check for it. This is a piece of equipment. This is an asset that they're going to be giving to their grandkids one of these days. You know what I mean? A fixture.
Actually,
and so what they're doing is an item. They shouldn't be using current cash receipts to buy that, in my opinion, unless they've got lots and lots of profit. That's a good item to be financed long term over, let's say, you know, finance it over a couple of 3 years. What do you think?
Absolutely agree with you, Jim, and it's a great example of the kind of thing that I'm talking about. When you have an asset that's going to give you long-term benefit, you need to try to stretch the cash outflow to pay for that over the period of the benefit. So you kind of match the cash out with the benefit in. That's really the key. And if you buy an asset that's going to produce such a tremendous increase in your productivity that it'll pay off sooner, wonderful. That's great. But don't let the cash drain happen faster than the cash benefit. And that's exactly what the restaurant owner that you're talking about did. And I've had clients who have done that. I had a client who was in the computer services business, and he made a lot of money and constantly needed to add equipment to upgrade his business, to grow his business. So he made a lot of money. Next year, he paid cash for all the equipment he needed that year. The following year, he didn't have that cash. He still needed equipment. He went to his bank. They said, gee, what happened to all the profit you made last year?
Yeah.
And suddenly he had no ability to negotiate.
And he was trying to finance used equipment at that point.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
You could have, the bank would have financed the new equipment day one for him over 2 or 3 years, but they didn't want to finance used equipment now.
It's all the same thing. It's all about matching your cash benefit with your cash cost.
You know, there are people who don't like debt. And I will tell you, if you're a business owner, you need to get over that. Because your banker should be your best friend. and one of the best and the handiest sources of capital. And I don't know how any small business can make it without their bank. But one of the best sources of capital is borrowed money from a bank. You just got to use it wisely. And if it weren't for my bank over the years, I wouldn't be here right now.
Boy, you just have to look at any balance sheet of any company to know how important debt is to a company's business. Because it's always a big portion of our balance sheet. It's always a big part of where our capital comes from. So we have to manage it. We can't just let it manage us. We can't just let it happen. We have to pay attention to how that debt gets incurred and how it gets paid.
Well, and it's a good idea not to have to get yourself to where you have a low debt to equity ratio, or I should say a high equity to debt ratio. You should that is a good goal, but that takes time, doesn't it, Gene? It takes being disciplined, leaving profits in the company in the form of retained earnings, and then hopefully one day down the road, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, you've got enough retained earnings in the business that you don't have to borrow money all the time, or if you do, you only have to borrow 25% of what you would have needed otherwise. And that's a goal to build to, but most businesses starting out don't have that luxury.
Absolutely right, Jim. Perfectly right on. Over time, profits will build up, and if you leave them in the business, you mentioned that, and that's certainly...
That takes discipline.
It takes discipline, that's right. Just because we have it, we don't need to buy a new boat. And ultimately, you can use that capital to self-finance yourself. But debt is how a business grows. And when you have a growing business, for gosh sakes, debt managed properly is essential to growth. Because otherwise, you're always putting in your own capital to finance the growth of your business, and that's a bad way to do it. So that leverage is important. And as you said, when people are averse to debt and to paying interest, they really handicap themselves in growing a business.
I remember when I was a young man, a teenager, I borrowed money for a car. And I didn't like it because the bank was charging me interest. It made me mad that I had to pay interest. You know, I didn't understand how the world worked in those days. And my dad said to me, he said, "Son, interest is the price you pay for not being rich." And I've never forgiven him for bringing me into this world poor. But that was a good lesson for me. And small business owners have to understand that the price you pay for interest at banks is the price you pay for being undercapitalized. And it's a reality. It's just like, Gene, it's just like when, for married men, you know about this. Married men have to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, right? It's just the way it is. Tintil, we're going to be right back. Just teasing, ladies, just having a little fun. We're going to be right back with Gene Siciliano. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
Sitting on the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, just sitting on.
Welcome back. A little bit of Chicago for you there. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Gene Siciliano, the author of Finance for Non-Financial Managers, a book that you can get wherever books are sold, right, Gene?
That's true.
And it's part of the Briefcase Books series from McGraw-Hill, and it's outstanding. Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. They can also find it at your website, right?
Yes. They can buy it on the website directly.
Which is
www.cfoforrent.com.
Check that out when you get a chance. We're talking about, and by the way, folks, Gene is, as you know, is all over our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. He's deposited many bits of wisdom with us in the past at smallbusinessadvocate.com, and he also is one of the founding contributors to AskJim.biz. So check those two websites out of mine and use them to your advantage. Gene, we're talking about, folks, borrowing money, how to manage it properly. You need to think about the life of an item, don't you, Gene? If you're buying something, I mean, you don't want to finance tires if you don't have to, but you don't want to pay cash for an automobile if you've got good credit and you've got the cash flow to make the payments. What do you think?
I think that's a pretty good example. The size of it obviously makes a difference.
And the lifespan.
And the lifespan, absolutely, yeah.
Consumables. You don't want to. And you know, computer equipment is. You talked about the guy a minute ago who didn't borrow money for the computers. Some technology is almost consumables, aren't they, these days?
That's true. These days they are, and the price of them make that okay. But when this happened, which was 15 years ago,
right.
It wasn't okay. And when his main equipment in his business was computers, it was a big expenditure. You know, and some business owners might say, well, so what? Okay, so I had the cash, I used it, so what? What does it really do to my business? And what it really does is take cash, take working capital out of your business for an extended period of time.
Yep, your precious capital.
You bet. You're working hard to generate working capital to grow the business and to pay yourself and to pay your employees, and you take a chunk of cash out and you say, all right, we're taking that out for the next 5 years or whatever it is. And that can be a big mistake for business because they don't think about those long-term effects.
Well, and the thing is if you've got one computer that needs to be upgraded, you probably got more than one that needs to be upgraded. Go ahead and upgrade your equipment. Go to the bank, get a 12-month term note. Tell your banker you just want to borrow the money over 12 months, put it in 12 payments, and make the payments now. And you can probably pay for the computers just in the value of the upgrade.
That's
through productivity.
Good example. That's a good example. Good example. It really is.
And, of course, you know, Gene, as you know very well, as a CFO, financial expert, In 2007, the Section 179 direct expensing is up to what, 125,000? So you can actually deduct these items that you used to have to amortize to depreciate. You can actually deduct them now up to 125. Almost everything other than certain vehicles.
And that's kind of a nice benefit because it saves a little tax money.
Exactly.
Capital back in your business sooner rather than later. Now you have to repay it in later years because you don't get to depreciate that equipment then in subsequent tax returns as
right.
you would. But that's okay. That's the reverse case. That's getting more capital earlier rather than later.
But if you don't have it on the books and it becomes obsolete, it becomes, you know, something that's not as good as as productive as the new one would be, then you don't feel as bad about getting rid of it when the new product comes along.
Probably true. That's probably true. We talk about how to get capital into a small business owner's business, and just don't realize that a little bit of money extra in the business can enable them to do things that otherwise might be optional, and we let them go by the boards. That cash shortage can reduce product development. It can reduce marketing. It can reduce all those kind of things that are essential to growth, but sometimes our business owners think of them as discretionary. Well, I don't have to do product development. I don't have to enhance that service. I don't have to add a little extra. I don't have to do that marketing campaign because we don't know if it'll work anyway.
Right.
So when you short yourself of cash, you start eliminating or cutting out those things that really make the extra difference, that give you the competitive advantage over the other guy.
And being able to fund that growth and with borrowed capital, blending it with your profits and the investments you put in, blending those three sources together is a great way to grow your business, isn't it?
Absolutely is.
Yeah. Give us that website again, Gene.
CFOforRent.com.
Hey, Gene, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be.
The book is called Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. That's Gene's book. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.